But now it is time to catch up on some gadgets with our own gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp. And he's also host of the Gadget Detective podcast. Now, Fevzi, good evening to you.
Evening.
Now, I want to talk to you before we get into your fabulous gadgets about AI, because AI and gadgetry go hand in hand. As we've already seen with some people who've got things in their homes that they talk to or televisions that listen to them, etc., etc., at the basic level of AI. But what are we going to see in the future?
Well, your smart speaker will be smart, first of all, because at the moment your smart speaker is a dumb speaker. All it does is makes a recording of what you say, sends it off to a smart computer at the far end, at the other end of the internet, and back comes a recording which it then replays. It is actually a very dumb device. We're going to have a very different world ahead of us. So, you know, you've mentioned about sort of work and how that will be affected. Although I agree that, you know, initially we will use them as tools and we will become hugely more productive, I do think in the slightly longer term that whole rafts of jobs will go. And I'm not sure that everyone will be able to reskill into being a data scientist, for example, or something where...
Yeah, quite. The jobs will narrow, surely. I mean, you've already got, technology creating photographs that mankind can't create. You've got artwork being created by computers. You've got all sorts of, you know, script writing, copywriting, all of those things being done by AI.
Yeah, so there are huge benefits to this. I mean, it will be like the Industrial Revolution, you know, in terms of what we can produce and all the things that we can do. And those will be the immediate benefits. But I see the worrying area being four main types: work, replacement of jobs to be automated, intellectual property. We already see that, you know, these DALL-E-type programs that produce images are effectively stealing large parts of them from the internet. So how do you, if you're a creator, how do you protect your content? Disinformation. At the moment we have human troll factories, people who sit in rooms, tap away, maybe in Russia or China, trying to spread disinformation in the West, and they do it. Now it can be done at scale. And it can be so much more plausible. The language will be beautiful. In fact, one of the ways that you will spot scams in the future will be that the messages are too well written.
Wow.
At the moment, it's the other way around.
Yeah,
right?
It's the spelling mistakes that you see, and you go, oh, yeah, right, that's not you.
So you've got that, and then, you know, the undermining of democracy and all that goes with that. And you've even seen, you know, the primitive systems that we have now. When you think of AI now, Petri, think of it as if we were talking about flight, manned flight or human flight. Think of the Wright brothers. That's where we are now. And then think of large rockets and spaceships and Star Trek, and that's where we're going. And to think about what's going to happen now based on where we are now is foolish. It's like when you play tennis, you have to anticipate where the ball's going to be, not where it is at the moment, and the ball is moving so very quickly. So disinformation, a big problem. And then you've got automated decision-making systems. So this can be anything from AI weapons. And we already have those. I mean, on the border between North and South Korea, you've had for some years AI-based machine guns that can actually acquire a target and choose what it is. And drones now, if a drone gets cut off from its controller, some drones have the ability to complete the mission and work out who they should be killing. And, you know, we're giving the life and death decisions away to machines, and it is really quite dangerous. And I found the resignation today to be quite interesting. This is a man who's worked in AI for decades. He is, you know.
Yeah, and he's absolutely terrified of it. He says he's, you know, if he hadn't developed it, somebody else would have done. Geoffrey Hinton.
Yeah. He's 75. He's been doing this for some years, and now he's terrified. I mean, I just think that, you know, that's a little late. The thing is, all those people, including Elon Musk, who've called for a moratorium, that's not going to happen for two reasons, and it's to do with commercial competitiveness and national security. just as we've had nuclear arms races, no country is going to allow itself to fall behind with AI weaponry because they fear that they will be overrun by a technologically superior foe. That whilst the West may be, you know, and NATO may have more nukes than their opponents, that balance of power could change very quickly. And so that's not going to stop. In the commercial space, you see, for example, companies like Uber, who have been investing in self-driving cars for a long time. And you know, obviously their game plan is fairly clear. They're going to get rid of their drivers. Now, you could, if I was a competitor to Uber, I could say, okay, I'm not going to do that. People value having a human driver. Yeah, let's see how much they value it when my fare is three times that of an automated cab.
Yeah, quite.
I will become the equivalent of a horse-drawn carriage in this world. So for that reason, any business that doesn't take up this technology will most likely go out of business. They'll cease to be competitive. And any country seeking to protect itself will develop AI weapons. And although we've had, like, assault treaties for nuclear weapons and so forth, that was because nuclear weapons are easier to verify. They're bigger. They work on a much larger scale. It's very hard to hide silos, you know. Everyone knows where each other's nukes are. With AI systems, it can literally be a bunch of boffins in their bedrooms connected over a network. And there are ways of spotting it because the amount of compute power being used is such that you see large draws of electricity. But verifying that, you know, the people, the countries that you've come to an agreement with to put a moratorium in place are actually sticking to that is going to be very difficult. And because you can't verify it, no one will trust and no one will enter into those discussions.
This is the kind of thing of nightmares. Let's talk about gadgets.
Yes.
Which I think are less nightmarish. An X8 portable, basically a charger.
Storage, yeah. Okay, so let me explain. So this is called the Crucial X8. It's a portable solid-state device. So this is something on which you can store huge amounts of data. And it's just very interesting how capacious these things have become, how small they've become, and how relatively affordable they've become. So this one, the Crucial X8, so Crucial is a brand of a company called Micron. Micron, one of the biggest manufacturers solid-state storage and electronics. And they have come up with something called the X8. And it's about the... Imagine a bar of soap that you've worn down. It's nearly finished. It's like that. It's like a sliver.
About four
inches long, about 2 inches wide, and a fraction of an inch thick. And yet this thing comes in 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte, and 4 terabyte storages. So to give you an idea, 1 terabyte... you can store about 250,000 photos on it, roughly speaking, or maybe 500 hours of high-definition film, so maybe 250 movies. I like this one, 6.5 million document pages, if you were, you know, to print it out, or the equivalent of 1,300 physical filing cabinets full of paper. And this thing will fit into your shirt pocket.
Amazing.
And then what then can we do with it? You know, one of the things that we need to be careful of is that most people are not backing up their computers and their mobile devices. I mean, you know, I'm not holier than thou on that. We've all been caught out. And it's not just if your computer fails or if you have your computer stolen. There's now this thing called ransomware where you get a virus on your computer, and what it does is it secretly scrambles all your data and then announces that it's done it and then ransoms your data back to you. And if you don't pay what is the equivalent of thousands of pounds, you don't get it back. Now, if you have a device like this and you've got 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes or 4 terabytes to play with, you've got plenty of space to back up all the devices in your home on this single device. Yeah. You can encrypt it and then you disconnect it. Because if you don't disconnect it and you get a ransomware attack, then it'll encrypt what's on the backup drive as well. But if you take it out and you put it somewhere else, then you've got a backup and you've got a chance of protecting yourself against it. I'll give you another use case. Think about Apple computers. I love Apple computers. I buy them with my own money. And one of the things that Apple do is they don't let you upgrade it after you've purchased it. So the amount of storage you've got in it is the amount you buy it with. So you have to try and guess how much you need and buy it. Now, that's all fine, except that what Apple, and not just Apple, but particularly them, what they charge say, for 1 terabyte of storage in a machine, is about £400. For 2 terabytes, £800. And for 4 terabytes, £1,200.
What?
Right? This device, 4 terabytes, is £215.
Wow.
So in other words...
And most people wouldn't need 4 terabytes, would they?
No, exactly. So
1 terabyte is 64 quid.
As opposed to 400. And what you can do with an Apple computer, most people don't realise this, and actually Apple told me not long ago that this was not possible. Maybe they just didn't want me to do it. What you can do with one of these types of devices, and it's not just this particular brand, but, you know, an external SSD, you can plug it in, you can load onto it your operating system, your Mac OS, you can load all your applications and all your data onto the external drive, and then it just boots off that and runs as if it was running off the internal drive. So what you can now do is you can buy the cheapest Mac with the smallest amount of storage, buy a device like this, plug it in externally, and Bob's your uncle. And I have a 2 terabyte one, which I'm about to run out of space on, and I'm sure switch it to 4 terabyte.
Wow.
And it will not be costing me an arm and a leg, and the 2 terabyte becomes my backup drive. So all in all, 4.5 stars out of 5. It's versatile, excellent, pocketable, and good value for money. So the 1 terabyte, as you said, is about £62. 2 terabytes, about 106. And the 4 terabytes, 215. So to give you an idea, those prices were about double that 6 months ago.
Wow.
So that's also a tip. Don't buy too much more than you need. Because if the prices will adjust. Yeah, because if you buy 4 terabytes and in a year's time you still haven't used 2, then you've wasted some of your money. Better to save half your money and then buy twice as much in 6 months or a year's time.
Let's turn to the turntable now. This vinyl is becoming very popular again. You know, places like HMV are reopening on Oxford Street. But this is very pretty. This is a nice looking turntable with a difference.
So first of all, the brand's interesting. It's from something called the House of Marley, and it's the family of Bob Marley and his estate, who have created this brand of audio products, but they're all it's sustainable. So I don't know if you can see a picture of it. But
yeah, I've got one in front of me.
This is a turntable, a record player. That top surface, that wood, is bamboo, which is a very renewable, sustainable. The plastic parts, including on the turntable, are all recycled materials. So this is a very sort of eco-friendly, as you would expect from House of Marley, product.
It's a nice little thin thing. It looks like a little laptop, doesn't it? It's just
a turntable, you know, if you're used to that. Interestingly enough, all the House of Marley products are named after Bob Marley songs or lyrics from Bob Marley. So this is called the Stir It Up record player, for example. What I particularly like about this is that although it's a good record player, and if all you want to do is play vinyl forever, that's fine. But what it's got a digital interface on it, a USB interface that will plug directly into a computer, a PC or a Mac. And then you can very easily record digitally all your records and have a digital copy of your records before they all degrade and warp before you have to kiss goodbye to them. Yes. Yeah. So you can do that really well. There's a Bluetooth version of it, which although it's nice to have Bluetooth, it's quite a lot more money. I actually think you get better sound by connecting, you know, normal speakers to a device like this one. It's just very versatile in the way that it does it. It plays 33 and 45 RPM, no 78s. It's got a solid aluminium platter, which means, you know, it will not vibrate too much as it's playing. And on the output, you've got quite a lot of flexibility. So you can plug it into the turntable input on your amplifier, or if you want line level outputs, you can go to powered speakers directly.
Wow. And it's actually a good price, £169.99 at the moment. And you've also given this 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Oh, one thing. So this price is 200.
Right.
If you go to their website, the House of Marley, don't forget the House of Marley.co.uk, there's a 15% off voucher that you should use. But then I noticed that you can also buy the same turntable with a mini Bluetooth speaker, which is normally worth about £90, for exactly the same money.
Wow.
So you can get the Bluetooth speaker, which, by the way, this won't connect to the... Well, it will connect because it's got an auxiliary input. But, so at that point, roughly speaking, you've got a turntable for about £80 and a speaker for about £90, and it's a bargain. at that price. So I kind of liked it, and I like its sustainable credentials.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely, and it's pretty. It's nice to look at. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed. If you want to listen to Fevzi doing his podcast, you can subscribe free to Gadget Detective Podcast at www.gadgetdetective.com and follow at Gadget Detective as well. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed. He's editor of the GadgetDetective.com and host of that podcast.